Hey everybody, and welcome to a new episode of Indie Film Cafe. I'm your old pal, the Moo Cow, aka Paulie Presenza, and I'm joined tonight by
Jonathan A. Moody,
John
sir.
Ward, John Ward.
And together, we are both joined by who?
John Ward.
John Ward.
All right. Why can't we hear you? What's the matter?
I have a face diaper on. I thought it was important for the film.
His freedom is being, being taken away from him by the evil government, world government. So, yeah.
But I have a joke. Do you guys want to hear a joke?
Sure.
What did Corona do to Jesus?
Don't know.
I'm not sure. What?
Nothing.
Okay,
then, moving on.
Yeah, that's a pretty good introduction for this film, because the movie we are doing is called 2025, The World Enslaved by a Virus, even though there's no virus in the movie.
They're enslaved by the thought of the virus.
Yes, they're. I don't know what's going
the
on.
The wake of the virus.
Oh, yes. I know what the virus is. It's called Christianity.
Anyhow, we shall be back right after some
mood
music. All right, well, we are back, and I, Criswell, predict this will be a very controversial episode, because there are going to be things and stuff that are going to be said, because this movie is a ridiculous pile of garbage. Ridiculous.
So I said, Criswell, predict something for John earlier, and yeah. John, and it was really weird, because I think I got that from you, I guess, or whatever. But John said, isn't Criswell's stuff like actually never got right? Never.
It's always wrong.
Yeah. It's always wrong. So you might be wrong about this, but I don't know. Or you might. I thought you'd be right about this. So maybe you shouldn't use Criswell's name in vain.
Forgive me, oh Criswell.
Now, I don't know why you picked this film, Paul, but...
I know why I picked this film.
Well, so do I. Technically, so do I. But I know Jonathan did some research, and I did some research. I don't know
and
if
Paul
you know
did
this
some
or
research,
not.
Yep.
So maybe we all know this, and I want to get this right out there, is the director is a possible pedophile.
I mean, it's a groomer.
Well, his girl, when he was like mid-20s, his girlfriend, who I believe is the blonde in the movie, the one that works
Holly.
At the
it's Lila, and she doesn't have it. She doesn't say her name. Holly was actually
those are two different people.
Yeah, look it up online.
I thought the blonde was the same person.
No, they just look similar and talk similar.
Very
but like,
similar. They look very
that,
similar.
Yeah. Yeah. So he. So I
and
guess she
they're
was.
Both, I think they're both married to the brothers, so they both have like a thing for like the blondes that look and sound alike. I don't know.
Oh, maybe that's where my confusion is coming in, because I know that the main actor who's one of the directors.
That guy.
Yeah, she was. Yeah, she was. 17 and probably younger when they met.
Younger.
Probably like 14 when 14. She met. And then he was in his like early to mid 20s. And then one day does a tweet that says, finally 18.
Mm-hmm.
And then marries her within months after that.
Oh, they got engaged after that. I think they got married maybe like a year later.
And
so
who the hell
still
knows
bad.
What happened in between? I mean,
yeah. So my take on this is that this is not about COVID. This is actually about him being denied not being able to marry, you know, someone who's underaged. I think that's really what the film is.
I wouldn't go that far.
It's a little different because it's Germany, and the age of consent in Germany is 14. It's different over in Europe. You know, it's, you know, I don't know. I think part of it plays into it, but this is all one big giant Christian conspiracy, you know.
Clusterfuck?
Well, more than that, it's the persecution complex. That's what this is.
Absolutely. You mean the one religion that is completely and totally around the world? That's the number one religion?
And the one religion that has been responsible for more deaths because they've been fighting each other over which version of Christianity is the right one. And yet these guys are like, we're going to get all the Christians. Well, you know, you can't get all the Christians to agree on anything. That's been the problem historically.
And remember, there was this wonderful thing called the Crusades.
Yeah. Well, and that's because that was back when there was just, you know, the Catholic Church and the Orthodox, and that was about it. There, you know, until Martin Luther came around, you didn't have 5,000 different flavors.
Interestingly, I am a Lutheran, you know, so, and it's funny because Paul picked this mainly to torture John.
Yes. Because every time I pick a movie that I know is bad, he wriggles off the hook somehow. Oh, Alien Beast. That was really, I was cute.
Oh my God. I'll never, never be forgiven for Alien Beast.
Apparently not.
Well, playing hardball, Mr. Ward. Playing hardball now.
I did, you know, well, and on top of the Crusades, let's not forget like the witch trials and all that type of stuff, that anybody who goes, hey, you know what? I think I can create something that might make us fly. They're immediately like burned at the stake, you know, because God didn't make us fly. But it's I believe I've seen this. I think I saw something on Tubi and I got through about 20 minutes and said, I'm done. So when you recommended this, I'm like, God, this looks familiar.
Yep. I was telling Moody, I tried watching this several months ago and I couldn't get through it. It was too bad. And then I'm like, I'll try it again because I know this has got something of internet buzz and I couldn't get through it again. And I'm like, this is so painful. I have to share this with my friends. And I, you know, as of yesterday, I still had 20 minutes to get through. I mean, especially the damn songs. The songs were just soul crushing.
How many times do we have to hear Amazing Grace? And I love the rap version of Amazing Grace.
I was surprised with the rap version. And there was actually one other song that was decent, but then the rest sucked. You know, so it was
there's
like
just so many levels of badness, because if you were to completely take out the weird Christian stuff, the weird Christian persecution stuff, just the movie, the technical aspects themselves are terrible. This is worse than Neil Breen. This is Maradona level stuff.
Oh, I was going to ask you guys if you thought this felt like a Neil Breen movie.
This felt
more like Maradona.
Paul, this felt like Neil Breen meets Tommy Wiseau. Like Tommy Wiseau's accent.
And I was going to ask, would you rather watch this or The Room?
I'd rather watch The Room.
See, I hate The Room, but I would rather watch The Room than this.
Oh yeah.
So you hate this more than The Room.
Yeah. I don't like The Room. I think it's just a bad movie. And if The Disaster Artist wasn't written or made, I probably would have never seen it. Anyways,
I'd rather watch this than, or I'd rather watch Birdemic than this. And I hate Birdemic.
I love Birdemic.
Here's the question. Here's the real question. Would you rather watch this or Actium Maximus?
This.
I still
would rather watch this. This, even though it was at very small points or whatever, it's laughable, and I can understand what people are saying and everything like that. I cannot understand a thing that.
Oh
like,
my God!
Actium Maximus.
So, you know what I was thinking, and I was going to ask you if you'd rather watch this or that. Is Shark Huntress?
Oh, he pointed out Shark Huntress. He said this was worse than Shark Huntress.
Wow.
And
It is. Because at least Shark Huntress, it had good music. It was good location, like really bright, good locations, good sound. You know, except for that girl, you know, who you could barely understand. That's like I won't say Citizens Kane. I'll say the Magnificent Ambersons compared to this.
Yeah.
Oh my God. This was just punishing. I mean, that's
I was so confused because you have, and it's only within the joke that the guy tells that we even know that this is the coronavirus. That so it's like, okay, so we all, it was like like the Christians and the conservatives, they didn't want to wear a mask. So why are they wearing a mask? Wouldn't that be kind of their point within this, is they would never wear a mask, but then the dictatorship would be wearing a mask, but yet some of them aren't.
Yeah, the virus is just an excuse for the movie to be made. The whole point is the persecution complex. The virus is just a reason for the quote-unquote world government, the evil world government, to suddenly come in, take control of everybody's country, change everybody's economic system and money, you know, take a religion that's what, 75% of the planet, and just all of a sudden everyone's like, oh sure, we're just gonna stop. And then, you know, and have that be a society everywhere.
Yeah, like, it drove me nuts when they were talking about, like, you know, the guy would randomly talk to the girl and he'd be like, you know, my parents are 65 years old and they are completely happy just sitting at home and not doing, you know, and all doing this nothing. Other stuff and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, they're 65 fucking years old. Leave them alone. You know, let them be happy. Good God.
Well, and what kills me with stuff like this is how, especially at the very beginning, and for people who haven't seen this, my joke at the beginning was a joke in the movie.
You didn't make that up yourself.
Yeah, which nobody laughed at. Yeah, and he plays the frigging guitar, so hit that guy in the head. Anybody who sits around playing the guitar in front of
I gotta give the movie a little bit of props, because even the characters, the shitty characters, didn't laugh at that joke.
Yeah.
No, because I think some of this was definitely made up, because they English is their second language.
Yep.
But they kept repeating, like, oh no, we have to make sure we're getting this across. So the guy would be like, I went to the car. I went to the automobile down the street. And then be like, I went to the store that's on the corner.
Yeah, there's a lot of improv, I think, going on, especially in some of these warehouse scenes it just seems so ridiculous and unstilted and unnatural and weird, you know?
This is why I think this feels like a Neil Breen movie. This feels like, you know how Neil Breen, conspiracy nut himself, you know, a lot of it feels like he's repeating himself a lot. Breening, that's what we called it now. And that's what these guys.
I coined that phrase. Thank you.
Yeah. Yep. Paul came up with that.
Copyright.
You know, copyright Paul Presenza. But but that was the thing. They start breening. So every time that they, you know, come up with something, like, they'll be like, I need to go to the car. You know, that's what it is.
Bland and emotionless. You know, you would expect, like, all of this stuff to be happening. You'd expect somebody to yell or scream or look angry or look sad or look anything, but they're also robotic and just bland. It's like, these are the worst actors.
Like Lucinda or whatever her name is, the one chick that's like her father's the evil chick, and then the other girl's talking, and now at one point she just goes, you know what, you're right, you know, I've been like blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, what the, like, you can't do that. You can't write your character to just flip-flop like that. Like,
no, okay, so I'm gonna jump to the end for a second here, but it's that ending where it gets cuts to black, where she goes to shoot our main character, and there's a guard right there next to them. They're out in a field, they want to kill him. So I know what they're doing. I understand the black is like, did she kill him? Did she not? But it's like, okay, so if you're going to do that with her character, with her flipping, then we should know that when she goes out into the field to kill our main character, that you either you could do the cut to black, which is to me a cheat, but that's fine. But you have her then aim the gun at his head, and then she turns it on the guard, shoots the guard, grabs him, and goes, we're getting out of here. And he's like, what? And she goes, I've been on your side this whole time. And they leave. Or she basically shoots our main guy. The guy becomes a martyr.
Exactly. That's the plan.
And then cuts to, since he's already used stock footage before, a bunch of riots happening, showing the uprise of Christians now fighting back.
What is he a martyr for, though?
He's a martyr for nothing. He's a martyr for himself.
He's the main guy. He's like now their savior because he's going around the world and preaching to four people at a time.
They even say that, you know, the Christians are gathering in these groups of 10 or 15 here and there. Nothing. He's reaching nobody. That's the thing. And that's why he definitely dies at the end, because again, he has to be a martyr. That's the whole thing about this Christian persecution thing. And again, it's not all Christians that believe that, but there's this certain group that anytime you make them actually follow laws, oh, we're being persecuted. No, you're not. You're just doing the same thing everybody else does. Shut the fuck up and follow the law. Honestly, no, they have to cry and complain about shit. That's this kind of guy. And he has to die because he has to be a martyr. That's why he definitely dies at the end.
You know, I enjoyed, and it was pretty bad, but I enjoyed Angel's Descent better than this. Like, oh, I would watch Angel's Descent a million times before I'd watch this movie.
Cheesier special effects, which are a lot more fun.
Yeah, it was a lot more fun, and it was fun to laugh at.
Fun in this.
There doesn't seem to be fun in this movie.
And
yeah,
this is what came out in 2021. So yeah. It's not like technology wasn't there. So if he, like, they should have had, which would be very easy to do. I mean, shit, all you do is just grab your phone and you could just put it on the guard or the army guy's chest, and you have him recording them about to kill him. And dude, you just film a couple of your friends at home looking on their computer at him about to be killed. So you get more of like people are actually watching what he's doing. He could film what we're doing right now. And just film it of people going, oh my God, is he? Oh, geez. Oh, and nothing. Instead, when they're doing their at the end of the movie, like speech around the world, the video, the what we see on the TV or the monitor is just them.
Yeah.
Why isn't it just different frames of people?
Because
watching
they don't know
them.
What they're doing. They have no idea. You know, it's just like Holly, my favorite character. Not Holly, the goth chick, the hacker who just shows up.
I'm a hacker. I am known to you as a
hacker. I think that was Holly. I think that was her name.
I am here to save you and to join you. And I am the Deus Ex Machina here to push the narrative along. I can hack everything, and she can get all the Christians' phone numbers from all over the world, so she can send them all messages, and nobody can stop her. Get the fuck out of here! That's so ridiculous.
Yeah, and how dare you compare yourselves to the Jews during the Holocaust? Because that's what she's doing. Is there's the database of Christians with names, addresses, phone numbers that our evil government has, just like they took the names and everything of the Jews.
Well, remember, this
World
is a
War
Christian
II.
Persecution movie. No Jews, no Muslims, no Hindus, no Buddhists, none of those other people matter.
Right. And his whole thing of complaining, like, I understand people lost their jobs and homes and stuff during COVID because things got shut down. But for me, I was on the front lines. I worked. My life
there was a reason
really
for that.
Did not change.
It wasn't because of an evil government. It's because we had a fucking virus that was killing people.
Well, like, that's who you, that matters who you talk to.
Died.
A lot of people, you know, think it was fake. A lot of people, but it's like in the movie. So you can't read the Bible. Okay, can you read Stephen King? I mean, there's still billions of books out there that you can read. I like what he says there. Now we can't do things, and it shows stock footage of like a wedding with the cross on it or something, and it's out by the lake, but there's nobody at it.
Can't have ice cream either.
Can't have ice cream. Yeah, ice cream is outlawed.
Evil.
Yeah, it doesn't mean. There was still a billion things you could do during COVID. There was just, it really did not affect as many lives as probably we would like to think.
So Holly is the hacker, by the way. Holly is the name of the hacker. So you were right when you said that originally.
Her delivery was one of the worst I've ever seen.
I am what is known as, to you, a hacker.
Yeah.
You are what is known as an amateur.
What other word would you go by?
And not only do I blame her for that, I blame the director. Hello, director. Don't you think a second take would work? Maybe something with a little bit more oomph to it. Maybe.
By the way, there's two directors in this movie.
Yeah, there's two brothers who directed this.
The two brothers.
And there's one. I love the only scene that is in German with subtitles.
Oh yeah.
And they misspell resurrection, and then the dad, I guess, of the woman who then turns at the like near the end or something, but he doesn't say propaganda. He says like propaganda.
Right,
He missed. It's with an A. Pronanda. He says something like Pronanda. Oh yeah, go get the Ministry of Pronana.
Yeah,
there are a lot of flubs, but they don't bother to reshoot.
Couldn't do a second take on that. He mispronounces title.
Yeah, it's like Ed Wood. You know, like it's the minor little things. Nobody will notice
all the time.
Big picture.
Yeah. I mean, it's there are so many ways of doing this type of stuff.
It seemed like when the cops finally figure out where they're at, it seemed like they were in the fucking basement of the police station. They just went down some stairs. I'm like, is that really the best hiding place when you're trying to hide from the cops? Is one flight down? Really? That's your solution?
Well, and our main guy, who both of you have up, this guy's a dick. One, he spray paints on fucking nature and private property.
Spray fish. I must get more sprays. I lost
and
the sprays.
It's like the guy didn't know. The friend, the blonde-haired friend, didn't know what to say. Like, he thought that was the end of the scene. And then when he goes, oh, I need to get more sprays, like, is that the director saying it or the actor?
Keep rolling.
It probably was the director and the chest or whatever. Like, that was just...
And
you
I
know.
Love in the first part of that where they're, like, wandering out in the middle of nowhere, spray painting half a fish, and then she would do the... Because, of course, she's got the pink because she's a girl and he's got the blue because he's a boy.
Of course.
On the ground or on a bush or someplace in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, thanks for ruining nature, asshole.
Where no one's going to even see it. It wasn't until later when they started actually doing it in the city where people might actually see it. And then they're going over other...
Nobody's supposed to see it anyway. They're all supposed to be in their houses. That's like... They're basically permanent lockdown.
Well, and then he sprays over other graffiti. But I found this out by watching one of the videos on this, one of the reviews. Do you know why they're doing the fish?
Yes, out of an error.
Why?
It's an error because they think that it's an early Christian symbol, that it was a secret, that was a way of Christians identifying each other and saying,
right.
It turns out that was an old theory that was like around 1905, 1906, and people just ran with it up until about like 20 years ago when they went back and they did a lot of research on early Christian writings. And it turns out there's no actual connection between early Christian persecution and the fish thing. There is nothing to that. So it's false.
He's going off of something that's false. I mean, the fish is because that's what Jesus ate during the Last Supper was the fish.
The thing is, in early Christianity, there were a bunch of different symbols. Okay. So you had the crucifix, you had the cross, you had flames, you had an egg, you had the gyro, you had all sorts of different stuff. It's just that at different periods of Christian history, different symbols were preferred. And early on, it was the fish. And I think mostly because, and this goes back to my Catholic bringing up, it mostly was, the symbols, the Greek symbols, actually, if you spell it out, it's an anagram that means Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, or something like that. But it also represented baptism, which was the more important thing early on in Christianity because of that's the way that you got people, okay? It wasn't until like three or four centuries later when the newer symbol that had been around forever, the crucifix, became more in vogue, and it was more like we're not focusing as much on the baptism part as on the sacrifice part.
Right.
You know, and it's an old symbol because the cross, I mean, before it was the cross, that whole T thing, first of all, that's a Greek letter, okay, that's tau, and then before that, That's the Ankh symbol that goes back way back into Egyptian history. So all of these symbols have been around forever. They were simply co-opted later on as a way to make the religion universal and to gather as many people as they could who could recognize it. But there was no secret thing going on. From, at least no real research has been able to link that up. But so it's just a mistake they're going.
I mean, on. I've always knew the fish symbol as being Christianity, you know, or whatever, some kind of Christianity thing. I used to go to like these Christian stores or whatever, and a lot of the, you know, would say like God, Jesus, and they have a fish in the thing, you know, or whatever.
They ruin everything. God, milk, God, Jesus. They ruin everything.
Yeah, you know.
So I used to have a Darwin fish, man, and then somebody keyed my car because I, you know, right under it. I was back in the day.
Somebody keyed your car because you had a Darwin symbol or whatever.
I guess because they keyed it right under it. So
yeah, that's fucked up, man. And you know, it's funny because most Christians are supposed to, like, you know, turn the other cheek. That's the idea, you know, is like we're supposed to learn from Jesus to be better.
And that's the problem is that you have a whole bunch of Christians who are like that, but then you have a whole other bunch of Christians who just use religion as a way to further their own prejudices, their own fears, their own hatred, and it sucks. And I wish the one group would call out the other group a whole lot more, but I don't want to get into that rabbit hole.
No, and it's not like Jesus said the best things. I mean, if you go through, you know, the Bible, you know, he said some pretty bad things. They just focus on some of the better things that are known to everybody.
Yeah, I mean, preachers and pastors are going to talk about the good stuff.
Yeah, I mean,
there is
some pretty screwed up stuff that you know,
sure.
Jesus
and
did
that's
say.
Basically the filmmaker, I mean, he was a youth pastor, so that's how his vision is. So this is not traditional church stuff here. Okay, this is like weird, you know, fundamentalists kind of version of Christianity.
They live in America now? Like, I think they do.
I have no idea.
I feel like they moved to America, but I don't know if this was filmed in Germany or America. Like,
Of the reviews I watched said that it's American funded but shot in Germany, which is probably why it's in English. But they wanted, I'm going to guess that it was probably some sort of requirement of saying you need to at least do a scene in German.
By the way, if you go to his,
be there?
If you go to his YouTube, there's tons of people just, all they're doing is saying groomer, 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 all the way down his page and everything. And I'm like, you would think like you would have just got rid of comments, you know, by now. Just you know, like that's all you're going to get, dude. You know, like, I hate to say it, but I mean, you know, like,
I just this whole thing is just hilarious of like Paul said, just the persecution of them, that he feels that he has to make this movie to make some sort of point that it's like, why was it so bad to wear a, why, what was so, I don't understand.
Because the government made them do it. That's why.
They obviously think that the world is going to be ruled by one government that's going to control all of the world. And that stuff just makes me laugh because I was watching that video that Paul sent me and they said the exact same thing I've always thought, which is like, how are you going to get any leaders, you know, all the world's leaders together to give up their, you know, their leadership, you know, like nobody's going to do that. You know, there's not going to be one leader that controls all of the world. That's just not going to happen.
It's total fantasy. It's ridiculousness. Yeah. You know,
like, I hate that New World Order shit. Just, I hate it. Just stop this crap. You know,
I mean, there are some really good, you know, kind of dystopian films out there. You know, of course, Fahrenheit 451 is one of them.
1984.
It's that definitely have a point of even that one with Christian Bale to a degree, that Equilibrium, you know, that deals with emotions isn't bad, but it's I don't know. It's these, it's this was an even fun Christian to watch. You know, like, I love the PureFlix stuff. I can watch PureFlix.
You can watch God's Not Dead like a billion times and laugh at it.
Yeah, and just see just how the atheists are treated and everything.
Evil atheists.
But this is not fun.
But this isn't even like, they're not even, the people they're fighting against in this movie aren't even like, it's not like they're atheist, you know? I don't even know what they are, because they don't really stand for anything necessarily.
They get no details whatsoever.
Well, and for Thanksgiving, I had a Hunger Games marathon. So I watched the original four. And even in that one, Now there's five. Yeah. They take the people out who do the, was it the symbol? It's this symbol right there. Anybody who does that, they just shoot him. They just pull him out of the crowd and just shoot him right in front of them. And it's like, oh fuck, that's like a young reader's thing. And that was worse than this. This didn't have any of these guards that for some reason have strange electrical tape, you know, across their vest, which if you were hiding something, put silver and then put the cop's name, Stevens, and you have Johnson on somebody else. So then it looks like, oh, they just put it on, put the piece of tape on, and they put the name.
They have the license plate says police.
I know.
Like, it doesn't, they're not really giving this much thought, you know. No, they're just not. Make this movie.
Even when the Marine guy pops in, and he has to ask him, "Are you Christian?" And then you cut them, and just before he says yes, he's got a big old fat crucifix hanging from his neck, and a time and a place where it's illegal to do that. Yeah, I think he is a Christian, dude. I don't think you have to ask that question. You know.
Well, that interrogator is the worst interrogator ever.
I know.
And it never comes back to him.
Nope.
At the beginning of the film, when our lead is sitting and reading from these books, why is the cop or the interrogator not saying, okay, stop. Stop. You know, this is illegal. What you're doing is illegal. I'm not going to be part of it. We do see him a couple times, and it almost looks like he's turning. Like, all of a sudden at the end of the movie, maybe he should be the one to shoot the daughter and run away with the leader. You know, something like that. But it's never brought back up again. And it's so, the movie is just ugly. It doesn't look nice. Yep. It's very underlit.
The lighting is terrible. Many dark things.
I'll say the outside stuff, like some drone shots and stuff like that, I didn't mind. You know, like when they go outside and you see sort of, I'm guessing they're drone shots, but they're like up there. They're looking at the countryside. Like, Germany looked kind of pretty, you know, outside.
Or how about when they focus on the quote unquote cop chase scene where they're going probably about 25 miles an hour.
Oh my God. No one shall be seated during the fascinating and thrilling chase scene.
Oh my God. And then his little Peugeot or whatever it is goes off onto the grass, and the cops just stop. And they're like, they don't follow him because I guess they're not allowed to get grass on their car or something. Instead, they shoot after him. Then fortunately, a Jeep full of cops happens to be right there and jumps in to take, because, you know, it's okay for the Jeep to go in the grass, but it's not for the other one.
Their parents didn't let them, you know.
I think because they probably rented the car, slapped a police sticker on the front, and they said, don't get this car dirty.
Yeah, you're going to be charged.
But then
extra
you write that into the
it.
Script where I they know. Don't go into that area.
And why don't they kill him? If would for some reason he slides over the top of the car instead of running around it, why don't they kill him when they get him? If he's the leader, you know, and this is all his fault, why not just shoot him right there? It's not like they take him to the headquarters and he's investigated by that. I guess he's the American guy who's like the leader of everybody. You know, instead it's just some cop that's in there just talking
because,
to him.
You know,
what's the whole thing with the train?
It's his persecution fantasy that, you know, he's going to die, but not after all the attention is put on him so that he could be the great, wonderful
martyr.
See,
you need that. You need that. You need to have that one guy, the main bad guy, talking to, I guess, the daughter and saying, she should say, well, maybe we could kill him. Or she maybe tells the dad, no, you can't kill him. Because then he's going to be a martyr. Yeah, that's like screenwriting 101. You know, it's like, why aren't they killing him? Oh, because they don't want to be a martyr. Okay. But it's never mentioned.
Okay, so you have to understand, you know, first of all, and this is like their first feature film, you know, right?
I don't care.
I don't even think they did a short film or anything before this. So this is like their first feature film. All I'm going to say about that is like not knowing the screenwriting things. These are things that should be done before you make your first feature film. Oh, yeah. You should learn how to write a screenplay, spend some time making it good, you know, working on it, you know, and everything.
At the very least, when you finally managed to bang a script together, and I'm still convinced that a lot of this was fucking just made up on the spot. But let's, for example, just assume that there is a script. At least you take it to somebody who has some experience making movies or writing and say, hey, could you take a look at this and see if this stuff works? And they'll give us some pointers.
You'd think the only people they know is themselves. Like, they don't know.
Well, yeah, not when you're that righteous. You know, what you write is perfect. You know, look at the, because probably in their heads, they knew exactly what they were doing. It just never came off that way.
Or maybe it did. And that's even scarier. Maybe this is exactly how they wanted it to be.
Yeah, it's so just everything is. I don't understand this film, and I never want to watch it again. This isn't something like Shark Huntress that kind of grew on me, and that I found the soundtrack online and I ended up buying the movie, because at least you can see it looked good, it sounded good. It was just, there was no shark and there was no Huntress.
Oh God, the shots were mostly terrible. You're just, it's just like there, and then it sits.
Look, well, Paul, I mean, just your picture. Look how bland that is. Okay, let's throw a blue and a red light up there, and that's it. All the shots look like this was a play.
Right.
Like they just shot a play.
Yeah. And they had blue and red lights, and they used them as much as they could. And that's what they had. So that's what they ran with.
The girl, I guess that was his girlfriend or whatever, where you don't, you're right. Cause the Holly chick and her looked very similar to enough where I, after a while, I get kind of confused as to who was this chick. Cause it was never even implied. Like, it just shows all of a sudden one day he's got the girlfriend by him. And I'm like, wait, they were together, you know, like it confused me. Like, where did this come from? Did I miss something?
And then the thing is, he had been hiding with the other chick for quite some time. When the movie opens up, they already have an established relationship. So wouldn't it make more sense that they would be together?
Nope.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, why
because
are they
not
actors? And
they are. That's a youth pastor, and he's in love with the other girl.
But that's the problem.
In real life.
Why doesn't he cast his girlfriend as the other role? You know what I mean?
Oh, that's actually a good point. Why not? I mean, I don't know. It was weird because they had just a friendship. And they were just together all the time.
I suspect there's a reason. And the reason is because the Hannah role is somewhat bigger and has more lines. And the girlfriend, she ain't no actor. She was terrible. And I think even he managed to figure that out. Antonia Joy Spear, who played Hannah, was better as an actress.
This might explain a few things. So this is what I learned from looking at their Instagram and shit. You know, because I checked out their stuff, and so the Antonia Spear, she's actually, her brother is that awful actor Luke, who comes in and he's just like, you know, oh, what are you guys doing? Oh, you guys shouldn't be doing this. Don't do this. And then he goes and turns on them later, or whatever.
Yeah, because he's not gonna Fredo on them at all.
Give me something in reverse. What?
Yeah, I don't know why they trusted him, period. Like, they should have killed him or
something.
Stupid. Yeah, but anyway,
the friend with the guitar was right.
Then okay, so those two are brother and sister. Tabitha Wesley is now Tabitha Dugan. She was Lucinda, and that was Lucinda was the bad chick, villain who turns at the end, I guess, or whatever. And that is the sister of Joshua and name?
There
Simon.
There were a lot of Spears and stuff in the look.
So she actually married Matthew Dugan, who was played Hunter. He's the guy who kind of comes in and kind of helps out.
The blandest guy of all.
Yeah. He's kind of just like, he's the one who's like, my mom and parents are like 65 and blah, 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 blah,
that,
blah.
That is, so one of the reviews I watched was brilliant when they talked about that. They're like, he goes, this scene sums up Christianity perfectly. Because the guy comes in and goes, my family is going to be murdered for doing something that they believe in. And what does the guy do? What does our lead do? He goes, oh, here, read the Bible.
Yeah.
They're going to heaven, and one day you'll be dead and go visit, and then you'll be with them. Instead of saying, that sucks, I'm really sorry, let's see if we can rescue them. Instead, it's, oh, here's some DVDs, which, by the way, this is supposed to be, you know, 2025, so why is it it's streaming?
They had CDs at first. I'm like, CDs? Is this 1989?
Yeah.
Futuristic movies are great, like Logan's Run and all that. Oh, everything still looks like 1970.
So the girl who played Holly, Laura Weider, is actually now Laura Wesley or whatever.
The whole thing and is like it's very incestuous. Like everybody's married.
And she's married to Simon. So Simon Wesley, and then Isabel Shurman is the girl by Lila. That's the 14-year-old turned to be, now she's in her 20, I think she's 22 or so, 23 maybe. And she is married to Joshua.
Yeah, this, oh my this whole
God, this is worse than 90210.
Yeah, so like everybody behind the scenes, icky. They're all married or and they've all met each other on these things, and then they all ended up getting married after.
So okay, so we have in Jonathan's picture their brother and sister.
No.
In the movie, they're brother and sister.
Are they?
I have no idea.
Well, she says my brother.
Oh, I never caught that.
Yeah, but that's I thought
could be brother in Christ, but that could be brother. I don't know.
I took that as a fellowship kind of a phrase, not so much as a, you know what I mean? Because they didn't have that relationship.
It didn't look like they had that relationship.
So then Holly is the hacker. You got the he's possibly American, the blonde guy with the guitar. You got him.
That's Hunter.
Okay. Then you got Luke, who's the guy who betrays them because he's the Judas. And then now my confusion is the blonde that works at the company.
That's Isabel. That's, right. that's his name's girlfriend.
So who's the one that he's walking with on the road?
That's her. She just has that's still her. She just has a different hairstyle at that time. I like, she's like her, when you see her, when she's hacking and doing
it's
that stuff, her hair's all curly, but then later it's changed. And then, not hacking. She's. I don't know what she's doing.
She's just collecting typing in her computer.
Names. Yeah. She's, remember, there's sheets of paper with like seven or eight names on them, and then she's
the word file.
She's taking them.
taking them from the people.
Because in the future, we're still putting names on pieces of paper.
And then she comes. She has like three different hairstyles in this fucking movie. It drove me nuts because I didn't even know that was the same girl until I started realizing. Oh fuck!
Yeah, I was confused by that.
So she's at the police station and she's stealing files or whatever. Then she meets with this guy, the main guy, and she has a different hairstyle then. And then she meets up with the bad girl. And the bad girl sees her. She has another different hairstyle. And I'm like, what the fuck, man? Like, what? Why are you changing your look every... Is she not happy with the way she's looking?
Why are they putting
like,
top secret information on paper files? That's so ridiculous.
And she's just putting them into a briefcase.
Right.
Just
that's
into a briefcase just to leave.
That.
Like her dad's briefcase or something.
It's like security number 101. You don't print out top secret information.
Well, and how didn't they know this earlier, right? So the main bad guy, the dad, I guess, he comes over, slams for some reason, because they're an authoritative, you know, type place. He slams the folder down and says, these are the new people. She takes them, puts them into her briefcase. And then the guy comes back and goes, you're done with those 2 seconds later. Okay,
are those my
files?
Are those my files?
Files. I'm going to go give them to my daughter, who should open it and see there's nothing inside. And that's when we realize, wait a minute, the daughter is maybe on the other side, because when she sees they're empty, she just folds it back up. Scene missing.
That's too much thought. You know, there wasn't much thought in this
There
movie.
shouldn't even be paper. The guy should have just sent him a digital thing over the internet or through the phone or something where it just blips up there. And then she kind of goes in there and looks at it and maybe copies and pastes something. And that's it. You know, you have computers, you have digital technology. Why are you not using it?
I don't know. Is Germany like
you people who
like
are
far
supposed
back
to
like
be,
that?
These are people
the
who are
Dark
supposed
Ages?
To be the world government. Why are they so incompetent and terrible?
Well, and I thought because, you know, of course, we're, you know, because we're in America, I figured that who they were talking about was like our administration. Mm-hmm. But then you realize when they say, oh, no, we've already had a dictatorship, which I thought they were talking about Biden or maybe back then it'd be Obama.
Oh, it's Germany. It's definitely Germany.
Germany. So I'm thinking, OK, wait, this is Germany. I guess they're referring to Hitler.
Yeah, well, that's
not,
what I thought
too. But they're
too.
Not saying Hitler?
Two things about that, you know, because remember at the beginning they talk about the two things that were outlawed, the Bible, of course, and then the legal code of Germany. So he makes sure to put that out there. And then the second thing is, you know, I don't know whether you guys noticed, but when, you know, Lucinda is like confessing that she doesn't really believe in all of this stuff and she's just doing it because her dad is like, you know, been training her and
when
all
she's
that other
flip-flopped.
Stuff. And what does she say? The worst thing you could possibly say if you're a German, and this really made me cringe, is when she's like, oh, you know, I was just following orders. I'm like, too soon. You can't say that.
Too soon.
You can never, but, it'll always be too soon for that.
Well, and they even steal a line for Braveheart when our
oh,
guys,
oh, they do it a couple times,
do.
I think.
I mean, come on.
I'm
guys,
not that's... surprised because our buddy, Mel Gibson is right along those same kind of lines.
He probably love this
Christian
movie.
Persecution stuff.
I don't think it's terrible, but he was like, hey, they're at least
I'm
trying to get
I'm surprised they didn't go
across.
To him for some money.
Maybe they did. Maybe he's a silent backer.
Well, he probably would have said, I can do that shit a whole lot better than you can.
Yeah.
Make him the lead, and maybe I would have enjoyed it. So at least he could act.
At least he can. Well, I don't know. His acting lately has been like really off the rocker.
He's very good at yelling. I mean, that's kind of like his thing now, is to yell at everyone.
I have to admit, I am a Mel Gibson fan, so I have been since The Road Warrior, and I know he's done shitty things and said shitty things, but
it's hard sometimes to separate.
It's difficult when you hear those stuff, and then you see that the guy's like a good director, he's a good actor, and
he's just a shit person.
Which stems from his dad. That comes from his dad.
Yeah,
who,
you have to separate.
Who created
the
his own religion and church. So
well, I mean,
he was brainwashed from a kid on forward.
And yeah. That's the thing, you know, separating the artists and everything. I mean, some people might say that with this guy, with this director or whatever, separate the artist from the
director.
From the pedophile. But
that's
I mean if he
didn't wait in theory,
it, as one of the reviews pointed out, like, why would you put a tweet up that says finally 18?
Well, he got rid of it, it's no longer there, but still,
I mean, but why would you put that?
I don't know.
And at the end, when he's about to be executed, what are all those flashes to, like, him being married? And
I found that out. So when I was doing some digging and research, I looked up that girl right there, the main girl, I guess. Mm-hmm. I don't know what, I guess she's the main girl. She's a singer, and right. She had a song that she did. She did a cover of some song on for engagement, you know, party or whatever of right. them. And they put that into the movie because I watched it. And then later at the end of the movie, I see it. I'm like, wait, they just put the engagement party scene,
useful padding,
you know? Yeah. And put it in there. And so what was funny about that was you see both her and her brother together in that scene where she's like, he's on the keyboard and she's singing a song. And then it shows them doing that. I'm like, that is so weird. Like, why would you do that? But
well, I have to say, of all the people there, I think she probably had the most talent and she was probably the best actor. And if any of them were to go on and do anything else, I think I'd rather see her than any of the other people involved.
She did her own song, and it was in English, and it wasn't terrible. Mm. It was like her own original song. It just didn't. It wasn't good.
I kind
good.
Of liked the rapping, the Amazing Grace. I was kind
yeah,
of
that
enjoying,
was great.
Enjoying its Kanye West, you know, feel. But with that, with the stuff with them at the wedding, I'm thinking, okay, so is that stuff like, are they married? They just didn't show us the wedding.
Or maybe that's his guy's.
Yeah, it's like, is it in his brain? As right before he dies, it's what he wanted. It's what he hoped.
I don't think they put much thought into that. I think they just threw that scene in there. Yeah, it's just padding to kind of keep the movie going.
Keep rolling.
Even though the movie is already 5 minutes, well, probably 25 minutes too long.
I guess if they added any other information, it'd be past that 90-minute mark. So happy when I clicked. And I'm just like, how fucking long does this have?
This movie is an hour and a half too long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
I was so happy when it said 6 minutes remaining. I'm like, oh, thank Christ for this. And then they do thank Christ in the end credits, which is nice.
Thank you.
Thank you, Grosh.
So, you know, thanks. Thanks for doing that.
I think even Christ is going, dear Lord.
Oh, yeah, no, he's like, don't
put me into this.
Yeah, take my name off that. Please just remove my name.
He's gonna go. This dude's gonna go to heaven. He's gonna be like,
This is another.
I'm gonna have to send you to hell. Give me that movie.
Badly interpreted everything I said and did, as usual.
I mean, there's so many things that you and I get it. Maybe they're not filmmakers or whatever it is, but I'll use like, let's say somebody like Joe Lujan for an example. When he does like the Immortal Wars stuff, he does all the, you know, VFX himself. And all he does is have a wall with like a couple things on it. And then he creates everything on that wall to make it look futuristic. This is supposed to be two years from now. Nothing in this movie looked futuristic at all. It's not like they... Because I've noticed some films, some sci-fi films, let's say Blade Runner, for example, a lot of the stuff looks old. You know, phones look old. And that was intentional, was to give it that kind of 40s noir look, you know, feel with the props. So, okay, you could go that way. But this had like flip phones and stuff. And it's supposed to be 2025.
This, in my opinion, this was not meant to be entertainment. This was meant to be propaganda. So it's the message that's important. It's not the medium. They really did not care about all the details and about how things were done. It was the matter of getting the message out that's important to them. And their message is, you know, I'm, you know, an example of my version of Christianity, and we are being persecuted because we're not allowed to do whatever we want to do by these evil world government people. And, you know, just like everywhere else, and all Christians should unite.
I hate to say it, like you were saying before, like all you guys are saying, like 75% of the world is Christian. You know, Christianity most likely would never be outlawed. You know, because there are too many people that celebrate Christianity, right. even it's if ridiculous. They don't talk about it. You know, there's just it just wouldn't be outlawed. They get frowned upon. There's a great scene in there's a great thing in Silicon Valley, the TV show Silicon Valley, where they say in the show that you can't say that you're a Christian. You can say you're homosexual. You can say you're trans. You can say anything else. You say you're a Christian, then nobody wants to deal with you in Silicon Valley. And that's kind of a joke, but it's kind of true. Like it's true. Like if you're a Christian, you're kind of
true.
Conservative, and you're kind of viewed as like you can't be that way. And I laughed at that because it's sort of true that like you are a little, you know, Christian people are, and that is because you're right, Paul. A lot of it is those people who ruin
the
it.
Vocal minority.
Yeah. And there are people like me, myself. I keep to myself about my Christian. Obviously, I have not, when I'm talking about a movie about Christianity, two atheists. But you guys both know that. And I don't go, oh, John, you're an atheist. You know, you need, or you're agnostic.
But,
there's
a difference in just believing that there's something out there and making it your entire identity. And that could be for any group. You could be gay and make it your entire identity, that all you talk about is being gay, or all you talk about is being Muslim, or all you talk about is Christ.
It's very tiresome, whatever it is.
Yeah. And so you could do it within any group, but there are, you know, I don't know why you have to say good Christians, because it should just be Christians, because if there's good Christians, that means there's bad Christians. And which there are many. But it's, I think what gives them a really bad name is stuff like this. Can you imagine being in a room with all these people, even for an hour?
I mean, there are a number of very, very good movies that are very, very Christian, you know, and it's just that they're made by professionals. This is just rank amateurism because these people don't know what they're doing, because, again, it's all propaganda.
So I'll say one, and I highly recommend this if you guys haven't seen it. It is called The Remaining, and it is an end of the world movie. It stars the girl from Spy Kids, that Alexis, whatever her name is.
Alexa Vega. Now she's Alexa Pena Vega.
Okay, so she's in it. She's the lead, and it's an end of the world type thing where it's the rapture. And I bought it because I thought the trailer looked awesome.
I think you told me about this before.
Yeah, so. And then I watched the documentary. It's all Christian filmmakers. It's to terrify atheists into believing in God. But this thing is made so well. And it's actually a scary movie. I mean, it's a guy goes out, his girlfriend dies, and he goes outside and curses God, and God sends down a bolt and blows him up. And it's just like, this is amazing.
I'll tell you the way I actually, you know, I had a bolt of lightning literally happen to me. I said one day I came outside, and it was somewhat like, it was about to rain, but it wasn't raining yet. There was thunder, you know? And I said, God, if you're real, show me. And literally lightning bolt hit my parents' car. I'm not joking. And it scared the shit out of me. And I go, and people be like, oh, that's a coincidence. And I'm like, well, I don't give a fuck. It scared the shit out of me. It made me go, you know.
Like I said, there's, you know, I'm talking about things like Martin Scorsese's Silence. Okay. I don't know whether you guys ever saw a movie called Song of Bernadette from 1943.
Mm-hmm. I know.
That's an excellent film. There's a lot of really good, you know, movies of faith. And in fact, I wanted to do a whole show about those movies.
About the good ones, right?
About the good ones, because there are some that are out there. They just, you know, people just don't really talk about them because we are flooded by these rank amateur garbage that gets put out there.
Left Behind.
Oh my God, there's just so much garbage.
I love the Left Behind
Cameron
series.
Et cetera.
You love the Kirk Cameron one?
I love the Kirk Cameron ones.
Bible Man, so, all
the second Left Behind film, he meets the devil. I love it. I hate the writers because they say that all atheists should be murdered, that they should be taken out into the streets and shot.
Oh, that's charming.
What? But yeah, that's what the writers of the book say. But the Nicolas Cage one, he only did that because his brother is a pastor and said, hey, can you make one of these? And he said, sure. That one's enjoyable, but the ones with Kirk Cameron are freaking amazing. And I love them. I have them on a collection. But it's you and speak of what like Paul wants to do is, I remember working at a movie theater, and we were going to be playing The Last Temptation of Christ.
Yeah, another really
my
good
God,
one.
The phones were flooded a week before it came out. You cannot play this movie. Have you seen this movie? I have not, but you cannot see this because the trailers were out. And at that time, of course, there was no internet, so you could only see them in the theaters. No. But then, speaking of Mel Gibson, then you have Passion come out. And the most violent movie ever made. It is a snuff film. It is torture porn. But yet every Christian out there says it's the greatest thing ever.
Ugh.
So it's
I still have not seen it. I own it, icky. I think, on Blu-ray. But it's, I mean, I don't know if I really want to see like what it was most likely like.
It was torture,
you know,
porn. That's the
problem. Having Jesus,
I mean,
be
2.5
crucified.
Hours of a guy just being tortured is so what, you know. Okay, so you know, Christ wanting sex and stuff is bad, but you know, Christ being tortured and nail to a 2x4.
As long as it's for the sins of everybody else.
Last Temptation of Christ was a really good movie, although my one issue that I've always had all my since I've seen it, I love me some Harvey Keitel, but he was miscast in that film. It just didn't.
Yeah,
he had such a New York accent.
He was the devil, right?
No, he played Judas. And
He was. Okay, that's what. Who played the, I'm thinking Dustin
Hoffman. Pure New York City.
Dustin Hoffman played the devil in The Messenger, the Mila Holovich film. He played the devil. That's what I'm thinking. Okay.
So there are good movies out there.
This is not one of them.
This is definitely not one of them. And it's just poorly done. And by the way, last point I want to make before we get into the stinkometer. The other thing that bugged me is the whole idea of, well, we'll unite all the Christians by having this symbol. You know, there are a lot of Christian groups that don't use crucifixes or fishes or anything. So, you know, there are, you know, Mormons don't do it. The Seventh-day Adventists don't do it. There's a whole bunch of them. So you're kind of cutting out a whole, you know, group of Christians who don't use symbology at all.
So they can't come with them.
Right.
No,
so
they're sorry.
So again, they're only thinking about themselves. And that's part of the problem.
Well, and I love how the girl goes up to the one guy and goes, oh, hey, look, we reached X million Asians. And here's 30 DVDs for like 2 million, you know, Asians. And I do like how they just say, oh, Asia.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Asia. Oh, yeah. Well, hey, Europe, we reached 3 million Europeans.
Because, you know, Holly the hacker can do anything.
She can. Yeah. Including, I like how she has on her desk. One, we know she's a hacker because she has
green.
She's got the hood.
Yep.
So that's hacker number one. And then she's got the gas mask. And then right up here, are you guys promoting homosexuality? Because there appears to be a multicolored rainbow unicorn sitting right on the shelf.
Yeah.
And it's like, huh? Okay.
Symbolic.
I wonder. Yeah. And her computer screen was brilliant.
It's funny because to me, I don't know if you guys ever see a lot of movies from the 30s and 40s. Back then, radar was like the secret thing that could do anything. It was this magical, mystical thing that, you know, could do. See, it's the same thing now. Now, if you're a quote unquote hacker, you can do anything. You can have any skill. You can solve any problem just by. And it was the same thing in a Neil Breen movie where there's just mindlessly tapping. And you can tell they're not actually doing any words. They're just mindlessly tapping on the damn keyboard.
Well, yeah, because you could say, you know, Paul could go, John, I need for you to find the secret blah, blah, blah from Russia. And all I got to do is take my hands and go, okay, Paul, sending you that information right now. You should have it. There you go. Done.
Yeah.
So simple. So dumb.
For and that's, sure.
So much more fun talking about this film.
All the many problems that this movie has. It's just so bad. But anyway.
Well, I made a mistake. Is I asked Jonathan, like, what are we watching? And I said, are we still watching, what did I say?
29, 25 or something?
No, 25, 25.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
which 25. Is 25, 25 Armageddon, which is the Asylum movie directed by Michael Sue. Where all of their creatures and robots are in one movie. It's like their kind of multi-universe movie. And he goes, no, we're doing 2025. And I'm like, oh, crap. I wish we were doing the other one.
Every Asylum movie ever made is 100% better than this one. Every one.
Even the worst one
is
better than this.
Yes, I agree.
And Alien Origin, which is their Prometheus, just has people walking around in somebody's backyard and they just find a cow skull.
As you do.
You know? Yeah. Is better than this. Yeah, it's
so you can breathe deeply, Asylum. You're off the hook
for now.
So
for now,
I'd say it's right about our time where we start talking about our stinkometer. This is where we all three of us rate the movie on a scale of 1 to 10, by which the lower the score, the better the film is, the higher the score, the more stink there is. And as much as we love our stinky movies here at Indie Film Cafe, the higher the score reflects a whole lot more problems. You can't see it, you can't hear it, you can't understand it, the narrative is bad, the acting is bad, whatever it is, there are some technical problems that are, you know, make it less enjoyable than it should. And if you feel settled, you can give it a half score, you know, 5.5, 6.5, that kind of a thing. And then we take our three totals, or we take our three scores, we total it up, and then we see where on the ladder of stink this particular movie is. So I'm dying to find out what you guys have to say about
this movie. I'll go first.
Okay, you're volunteering.
All right. I'm going to give it a 10 plus.
You can add a plus.
Wow.
You
can,
so for 10 for 10s, you can add a plus. That's what we've decided.
If it's really that bad,
like one of the worst films you've ever seen. And this, actually, I would watch Miss Werewolf before I'd watch this again.
Wow, that's
and that's a 10 plus, you know.
Wow, that was
I don't know if I'd watch Shark Exorcist. You know, like that's almost tied with this in a
that's,
way.
That's a tough one, especially that last 10 minutes. Yeah,
that's rough.
Yeah, so, but I'd say 10 plus for this one. So
I'd have to agree.
Yeah, I mean, 10 plus.
It was definitely a 10. It was a fight the whole time.
But is it a 10 plus?
Enough? But yeah, no, it's a 10 plus. It's such garbage. Plus. It's absolute garbage.
So okay, so I'm going to say
don't you dare things. Say a 5, Mr. Ward. I'll have an aneurysm.
Two things I like. One, I do like the title. I just wish it was on a much better movie. Nice. And because that's not a bad title. And two, I give them credit, but this will not affect my score. There are very long scenes of dialogue, like long scenes of exposition.
Made up stuff? Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm surprised that they got through a lot of that without really stuttering or having to correct themselves. But I'm with you guys, 10 plus. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, thank God.
Yeah.
Because once I realized that I had watched some of it, I'm like, oh, fuck, now I got to watch the whole thing?
All right. So that brings it up with Miss Werewolf and Shark Exorcist, the there only two so far that have gotten a 10 plus or 20, 30 plus.
Well earned.
Yeah, I mean, so like I said before, when I told Paul we were going to have John Ward on the show, he's like, all right, but I got to find him a movie that, like, there's no way in hell
he's not wriggling off the hook this time.
Yeah, he's not getting off the hook.
I did not understand the rating with Alien Beast. I did not get it.
Well, here's the thing. No, this, when I finally got through it, my thought was, this is Maradonia, except worse. And if Maradonia got a 10. God.
Yeah, you did Maradonia as well, John, right? Like,
yeah, this is worse than Maradonia.
We were fascinated. In fact, we might have been as fascinated with this as we were with that, because Jonathan, you did a ton of research on this.
Yep,
and
yep.
And we also did a lot of research on that other one, like watched her music videos and did a bunch of stuff. We were kind of fascinated.
There's a big rabbit hole with Maradonia.
Yeah, with this one, I mean, we were fascinated because of, like, there's stuff, like, you know, behind the scenes, you know, mm-hmm. of everything that just makes it sort of even more cringier. But for Maradonia, there was a lot of behind the scenes stuff that and they didn't even want that movie out there or whatever. They knew the movie was bad. These people, I don't think, know their movie is bad or don't think their movie is bad. And that's a scary thought.
It's not about the movie. It's about the message.
Right. Yeah. Right.
So yeah, this is sort of like how Disney is doing a lot of that DEI stuff and everything. You know, this is like the exact opposite, like, kind of role of that. Like, this is their message is, we're going to do Christian propaganda. Christianity is the best religion and everybody has to follow Christianity. So that's what I'm pounding into you. I just
pound something into me.
Yeah. I don't know.
But if you notice on a lot of these other films that are similar, the main character is the one who shifts. Sure. So like the guy from Fahrenheit 451 all of a sudden starts wanting to read and see what these books are and all that. With the Christian Bale film, he starts getting emotions and then they start hunting him. Even something like Minority Report is all of a sudden, Tom Cruise, the main character, that little ball comes up and says, now you're about to murder somebody, and then he has to go on the run.
That's
so
because
it's like
they have something called growth.
Yeah. You have that character needs to change. They
that's
need
true
that
there
shift.
Is no growth with that main guy. Like, he's the same guy in the beginning than he is at the end.
Yep.
a lot of other people do. The guy that betrays him kind of changes a little bit because he does betray them.
Yeah, the girl who's daughter, the bad girl,
the weak link,
you know, out of nowhere says, "Oh, I agree with you." You know, blah blah
yeah,
blah.
I'm just doing that for my dad. And nobody at no point does our main character even think, you know, I don't know, maybe what they're doing is right.
Right. Right.
Yeah, but that would have been a different movie. What you would need is somebody like him.
Well, that's if I made it. Yeah.
You would have needed him to be part of the bad group of people and then switch over to becoming a Christian. You know?
Yeah, because I've the right. couple scripts I've written is the guy starts off as an atheist, and because there's ghosts and goblins and demon, you know, all that type of stuff, is he does go from being an atheist to a believer. Because you would have to, if all of a sudden your girlfriend's getting possessed and all that stuff, you'd be like, oh shit, there is something out there.
Right. And that's the problem with Holly, is that she's the one character who does go from being a non-believer to a believer, but because she's such a deus ex machina, that it doesn't really affect the narrative. If it had been Lucinda, who had been previously, you know, killing people because of all this, and who ends up, you know, betraying her father and the government, that would have been a whole other thing. But the problem is, when you do that, you're now taking the spotlight off
exactly.
of the other guy.
What they needed to do was, they needed to find somebody else, because, no offense, but this guy was so bland as a main Terrible. Character that it Terrible. Just sort of, like, after a while, you just don't give a crap, you know?
None of the guys pastor. Were interested.
He's used to being the center of attention, and that's what he wants in this movie.
It kind of reminds me of like Big Bang Theory, where all the guys look like nerds and they're not really attractive, but all the women around them are very attractive. Because right. all the women in this were really good looking. Right. And all the guys were like schmoes that look like they play
And they all end up marrying these girls. I'm like, how the fuck in real life does this happen?
That's the part that I didn't want to talk about. I let you guys talk about that. Because just...
how does that guy on your picture get a good-looking girl?
I've seen Instagram pics. They're... And guess what? They're having a child.
Of course they are.
Oh!
They're bringing... Right,
brainwashing.
Yay.
It's a new world, new life in 2024. So there you go.
So in 2 years, will we revisit this?
Yes, we should.
In 2025, should we revisit this just to see if it's happened?
Patreon sure only, maybe? Sure.
It's going to be exactly like it is shown here. This movie is prophetic.
Oh, my God, yes. All of a sudden, Christianity is going to be, you know, outlawed. Ice cream will be outlawed, and Paul will be devastated.
Oh, man, that's what's going to get me out there. I don't care about the other stuff, but you take away my ice cream? Pitchforks, baby.
All right, everybody.
Yeah, it's I'll say this, and then I'll let Jonathan say goodbye to us. It's a friend of mine a long time ago actually wrote a script about prohibition and about how it's very much like this, and that was the whole thing, was how people would go to extreme lengths to get alcohol.
Mm. Right.
And but that was a real thing. So, you know, at least people back then, you know, they, you know, and maybe like a grandfather or something could kind of relate to it. And I think anybody could relate to maybe some, like, oh my God, what if they took away my Bud Light?
Yeah. Right.
But
and it's a perfect example of how these people don't understand humans, because the more you take something away, the more popular, the more people want it, like whether it's drugs or alcohol or religion. The minute you ban something, you make it a lot more interesting and a lot more desirable. That's why that stuff never works.
And they don't get that. Republicans, Christians, they don't understand it, which is why when Tipper Gore put those little stickers on the CDs, those are the ones being stolen. Because now all these kids are going, I want that one that has a warning on it. When before they didn't want it.
To be fair, Tipper Gore was a Democrat. Just throwing that out there.
Yes, she was a Democrat, so I should state that's one of the things I really dislike about Democrats, was that whole thing. But it's when they do stuff like that, when they ban things, like you just said, people want it more. So if you tell somebody...
They were just fucking boomers who thought they knew how to run shit. And they
That's funny, you Gen X's think, oh, the boomers and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, and now, you know, everybody, you know, and
Gen X's are the best.
Hell yeah.
I mean, I will just say this. I don't hear any millennials complaining about Gen Xers. I'm not, I just never hear that.
That's because we showed you guys the way. We were the first ones who complained about the boomers and the shit.
I know. Well, because in millennials, you guys were our brothers and sisters and stuff. You weren't our family, like our parents.
We were too tiny of a group to really do anything about it. That's why we're trying to school you kids so that since you got the numbers, you can actually make a difference.
That's true.
That's the best thing. That's the great thing about millennials and Gen Z is that they are agents of change. Thank God. Yep. So,
well, the Gen Z I'm a little worried about, but you know,
Every older generation is suspicious of the younger.
I know. It's so funny. Maybe I'll get to like them, but right now they're ruining a lot of things. So.
They're in their avocado toast.
There's our next dystopian film. It's the groups. How the boomers will put the millennials in the camps.
That actually is a really good idea. Like all of a sudden, all the groups are fighting each other. It's like a battle royale. That would be a great title, Generation Wars. Yep. That's
the Gen Xers are just kicking back, just you know, smoking a cigar, having a drink while you guys are battling it out.
I showed a video of a comedian talking and everything, and Paul was like, "Wait a minute, you millennials are having back problems now. Like, what the you guys are the old people now. Shut the fuck up.
Wait till you crack 50, then come talk to me about your health."
Oh man, I'm like one of the beginning, because for the longest time I thought I was a Gen Xer because I was in 82 and that was very close to the whatever, but it was 80, I guess, is the starting, you know, for millennials and everything. So
sorry, buddy.
Yeah.
And not with the cool kids.
Well, I graduated in 2000, so I graduated in the millennium.
You're with a big, giant, huge group, so you're all right.
I think I'll be fine. Yeah. All right, everybody. Thank you guys so much for joining us tonight. This is an excellent episode. Paul's got to pick more 10 pluses, please.
I think this is my first one.
Well, just because we've gotten shut out for so long.
And this is only Paul's second one, because the one we did was Shark Exorcist. Paul didn't even want to come on that one.
Oh, I showed how.
And then he was like, "I don't know if it's a 10 plus." And I go, "Dude, you didn't even want to come on and watch the movie again."
Isn't there a sequel? Didn't he make a?
He did. I think it's coming out next year.
Yeah. So I guess we got something to review, don't we?
There we go. Can't wait. I want to see if it's improved or.
Worse. It should have. Hopefully, it's improved. I don't know. That was pretty hard to watch.
That last 10 minutes of Casper running around was just painful. She's cute to look at, but not, oh my God.
You never know, man, because some movies they really do, you know, House Shark. I hated House Shark when I first saw it. And the second time, I'm like, "Oh, this isn't so bad." And by the third time I watched it, I loved House Shark. So
there you go, Mooney. So watch Halloween Ends two more times, then you'll love it.
I did. I watched it three times already. I don't know if
watch Halloween? Why would you watch Halloween Ends three times?
Because I had to do it once when I just watched it, another one when I reviewed it, and then I had to review it a fucking again. And I hate the movie, you know? So yeah.
Why wasn't I part of any of those?
You were. You were one of them, at least. We reviewed it together.
Was it two filmmakers?
I think so.
Hated it, I think.
You hated it back then.
Yeah, I hated it.
You agreed with me.
I'm sure I would have hated it.
Now I guess we got to do one where it's us two and you now like it and you're trying to convince me to like it.
I guess I need to go back and re-look at movies that I've hated in the past. Maybe I'll love Barbie.
So, Mr. Ward, have you seen Actium Maximus?
No.
Do yourself a favor. Watch that movie, and then you come back on and let us know what you think. I'm dying to find out. This is the movie that haunted Moody forever.
It still haunts me to this day.
Is it Tubi?
I don't think so.
I don't know. I think it's on
maybe YouTube. Because like Troma has been putting a lot of stuff on.
Oh, Troma, it's a Troma?
But it's not like.
But it's not them. They didn't make it. That's for damn sure.
I don't know if I could if I'd watch it today. I'm down the when
today,
I know that we're going to do this again, then maybe I'll check it. I can't handle sitting through another bad movie.
No, it's not on. It's not
it for me and send me the link if it's free, and I'll check it out.
I will make sure to send you a link. I think you need to see this.
You I think you could probably find it on your Russian sketchy porn site. You know,
I now use one of the, I mean, the one that I've recommended to Moody shut down. So I found a new one. So I'll check to see if it's on there.
Paul started doing the same one you did, which was Daily Motion.
Yeah, that's not a Daily sketchy Motion Russian porn site though.
And that's not sketchy porn. Yeah, no, but he started using Daily
Motion's good. They've got some good stuff there.
Yeah.
Yep. All right, everybody. Well, thank you guys so much. And join us next week. I believe it's one of mine. So we'll see. But until then, everybody, have a good one. All right. Bye. Bye.
And hold on, I'm going to take this off while we're doing our thing here. Okay, there we go.